Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. I'm happy to advise that on September 2nd, 2021, my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God was released for sale. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh of Kansas City Christian Faith Center. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. I pray for everyone in the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. We honor the best gifts of the Holy Spirit to be in operation to meet the needs of this broadcast, especially the gifts of healing. Father, I ask you that you would think through my mind and speak through my lips truth and only your truth. Satan, we rebuke you and render your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and covenant with you, Father. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, we are together again. So please, let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Again, that's Hebrews chapter 11. And let's read our foundational scripture we have been using for our teaching on the meaning and the importance of faith. The meaning and the importance of faith. All my scriptures that I will be using and reading from are from the King James Version of the Bible. So if you have found our scripture, follow along as I read. Hebrews 11, verse 6. And it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Amen. Now, please go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 8. Again, that's Proverbs chapter 8. If you found it, please go to verse 17. And it says, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me." Amen. So God is looking for some people who are obedient and who are diligent in their prayer life, in their reading of the word, in their studying of the word, and in their fellowship and worship to him. But most importantly, excuse me, he wants children to be people of faith. Now, please go to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. That's Habakkuk, chapter 2. And we will read verse number 4. And it says, Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him. But the just, or those that have been declared righteous, shall live by his faith. Now please go to the book of Romans, chapter 1. That's Romans, chapter 1. And please go to verse 17. And it says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. So we learned that without faith, we cannot please our Heavenly Father. Number two, God rewards those who diligently, obediently seek after him. And number three, the just, or those who have been declared righteous, shall live by their faith. So in terms of priority, faith is the number one subject, in my opinion, that we should have complete understanding of. Amen? You know, the scripture tells us to get wisdom, but in all our getting, get understanding. Now, our last time together, we were addressing and discussing the fact how false beliefs come from hearing error, which can affect your faith. False beliefs come from hearing error, which can affect your faith. We have established by the word that faith comes by hearing, and what you hear through your ear gates can affect your faith either negatively or positively. So one must be careful what you hear and also how you hear. We were discussing praise and worship, and particularly a certain traditional spiritual hymn that is sung in a lot of churches, and I believe still today. Excuse me. I remembered because I mentioned because we are in a church setting that we should be aware that Satan or one of his demonic angels could be in our presence. For Satan has infiltrated the church years ago, and in one area, he has attacked the church, or the sanctity of the church is through music. He has inspired a lot of songs to be written that are completely worthless in reference to the Word of God and are anti-word songs without people realizing it. We must remember Lucifer was the archangel, which was created by God to be the musical director in the heavenly realms and was given an anointing for the assignment in music. But because of his pride and arrogance, he and his demonic angels were thrown from heaven unto earth. But he did not lose his gift that was given to him by God. What he lost was the anointing of that gift. Please go to Romans 11:29. That's Romans 11, verse 29. And let's see how great and good God is. And it says, for the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. So Satan, no matter how disobedient he was, no matter how prideful he was, no matter how arrogant he was, the gift that God gave him, which was the gift to provide music, he did not take back. What he lost was the anointing of that gift. So Satan still has the gift. He just doesn't have the anointing that was given him while he was in the celestial realm. Amen? So, we must be very careful of what we hear and how we hear, because that can certainly affect your faith. Now, We must be aware that Satan or one of the demonic angels could be in our presence. And again, we were looking at this traditional hymn entitled, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. We looked at the first verse, which says, Pass me not, O gentle Savior. And we determined the verse implicated or suggested possibly, just possibly, that the Lord might pass you by. Now let's look at how unscriptural that is. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. That's Hebrews chapter 13. It says, let your covetousness be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He says, for I said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now the traditional hymn says, do not pass me by. And the word of God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. So whose report are you going to believe? Faith comes by hearing. And this verse in Hebrews where it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, was written long before that song was written. All I'm doing is showing you a principle. You have to make your mind up regarding this discrepancy. I am merely showing you the difference. Amen? Again, let me emphasize, I am not here to attack the song or the writer, but merely to show you that we must be careful in what we hear. Singing unscriptural songs lead to error, disobedience, and finally death. Let me repeat that. Singing unscriptural songs can lead to error, disobedience, and finally death. Go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 14. Proverbs, chapter 14. And let's read verse number 12. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but his end is the way of death. Now look what it says. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Well, Jesus tells us, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say, I am a way. He says he is the way. So we have to make sure, again, to be careful what we hear and how we hear, because faith comes by hearing. Singing that song seems right because it has nice poetry, it rhymes, and being accompanied musically as its attraction to the soulless part of our tripart being, doesn't mean that it is scripture. Now let's look at the rest of that verse in that spiritual hymn. It says, pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. Hear my humble cry. It is asking the Lord to hear them, correct? So let's see if that verse lines up scripturally. So please go to 1 John chapter 5. That's 1 John chapter 5. And we will read verse 14 and 15. But before I read that, let's read the hymn again. It says, pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. Now, 1 John 5, 14 and 15. It says, now this is the confidence or the assurance that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. It says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Amen. What is really happening here is a total disrespect to God the Father using the song, Hear My Humble Cry. He has already told you that he heard you and hears you. So to sing, Hear My Cry, is like saying maybe he will not hear you. Now look at verse 14 of 1 John again. It says, this is the confidence or the assurance that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will. Now that is the key. According to his will, he hears us. See, what's happening here, there are a lot of Christians, because of their not studying the word carefully or them being taught incorrectly, they are not asking according to his will. Well, God is not going to respond to you that if it doesn't line up with his word. Amen? So it says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, can you see how disdain that is and what a destroyer of your faith it is to say, hear my humble cry? If you were to sing that song for 10 or 20 years, you would get a lot of faith for him for not hearing you. But the Apostle John said, he hears us. So for anyone to say, hear my cry, is like calling God, you are a liar. Your word is unreliable. I cannot count on you. So I am going to continue to pump and prime you up and then tell you to hear me. Remember, the scripture tells us God is not a man that he can lie. So if God cannot lie, then he must be telling us the truth. Again, verse 14 in 1 John 5 says, this is the confidence or the assurance that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Amen. Now you see what the word is telling us when it tells us to be careful what you hear and to be careful how you hear, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Now, the second song we will look at is from a present day gospel singer, and he happens to be one of my favorite singers. Now, I would not mention his name because that is not important or the issue. What we are dealing with is a principle that we should be careful what and how we hear. And if what we hear lines up with spiritual principles, then it's fine. Now, the name of the song is Miracle. The name of the song is Miracle. Now, before I read the lines of this song, let's come in agreement and let's make sure we are on one accord when it comes to the meaning of the word miracle. Because words can mean different things to different people. So let me give you a situation. If I was to say, before I came on the radio this morning, I seen a fox. Now, what fox am I talking about? And I'm talking about what we have used in our vernacular is when we speak to a very attractive woman. Woo, I seen a fox. Or number two, and I'm talking about the car that used to be made by the Audi automobile company called the Audi Fox. Or am I talking about that little bushy tail, long pointed nose fox? So which one am I talking about? So we have to be careful when we talk about meanings. We want to make sure that we understand so we won't be any confusion when we start discussing the miracle. So the Webster New Collegiate Dictionary meaning for miracle is an event or action that apparently contradicts known scientific laws and is hence thought to be due to supernatural causes, especially to an act of God. Interesting to say especially to an act of God. Well, you know, they say if a tree falls down in a storm, that's an act of God. Is that a miracle? So you see how they put things on God that really doesn't and should not be labeled to him? Now, from the New Westminster Dictionary of the Bible, and this is the meaning that I would prefer to use, and I will tell you another meaning at the end when I finish with this meaning. But from the New Westminster Dictionary of the Bible, the meaning for miracle are wonders, signs, types, powers, works of God that are events that occur outside the laws of nature as we know them. In the narrowest biblical sense, miracles are events in the external world worked by the immediate power of God and extended as a sign or testimony. They are possible because God sustains, controls, and guides all things and is personal and omnipotent. So we can say a miracle is an occurrence or event that temporarily suspends the natural laws of nature. Let me repeat that. A miracle is an occurrence or an event that temporarily suspends the laws of nature. Amen. Now, that song entitled Miracles is the one I want to look at now. Because remember, faith comes by hearing. And we want to make sure that we're hearing correctly. And we want to make sure that we're hearing correctly what we hear. Now, the first stanza of that song goes like this. It's time for your miracle. You press your way in the midst of the crowd. Come in anyway, even though you weren't allowed. From here, you say within yourself, if I can just touch Jesus, I don't need a touch from nobody else. It's time for your miracle. Very beautiful song, written very nice. But the first thing from this song is, it's time for your miracle. Now, I believe in miracles, and I know that they are being performed in this age and still happen in this age. But are miracles what God has told us to walk by? Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You there? All right. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Let me repeat that. For we walk by faith, not by sight. God never told us to walk by a miracle. We are to be doers of the word, and that requires action on our behalf. God never told us to depend on a miracle. Do the word just wait? If we were to just depend on miracles, what do we need the Bible for? We won't need the Bible. We can throw the Bible away and just wait for a miracle to happen. No, God tells us, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And then we read earlier, as we began our teaching, it says, the just shall live by their faith. Amen. So, even though miracles are still in operation today, we as born again believers, that is not what we believe in terms of that's what we should, in terms of our daily life as a Christian. No, the scripture tells us we walk by faith, not by sight. Well, you know, I'm just about out of time for today's lesson. But you know what? Let me invite you all to join us every Sunday for our teleconferencing services. You can join us by simply dialing our toll-free conference number at 605-303-4834, access code 997-020-pound. Services start at 2 p.m. sharp. Until then, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.